Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That's the Hall of Famer, Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright. We are all coming off a late night of watching football, so it's going to be a spicy Friday show for you at home. He's got takes. He's got takes. I have a couple of takes. Here's what we got going on over the course of the next 3 hours. Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, they're facing off in Kansas City on Sunday. That's going to be a great matchup. The Rams might be without Todd Gurley when the Niners come to town, but we got to start with some Thursday night football in Foxborough. You got Tom Brady and the Patriots hosting the Giants. Brady's first pass of the game. It'll go 19 yards to Sony Michel, and with that, he moves past Peyton Manning for second most passing yards all time. Next up, by the way, Drew Brees. Later in the first, Giants punt is blocked. Boy, the Pats do that a lot. Rookie Chase Winovich with the scoop and score gets the Pats on the board, 7-0. Second quarter, Giants get back in this. Daniel Jones finds Golden Tate. That's a 64-yard touchdown. Giants within seven. But that Pats top-ranked defense would prevail, forcing the fumble and then returning it. There it is, 22 yards for the touchdown. Pats go up 28-14. Later in the fourth, Tom Brady would punch it in for his second rushing touchdown of the game. Oldest player ever, by the way, with two rushing touchdowns. Pats win 35-14 to remain undefeated at 6-0. Here is Tom Brady after the win.
Happy we won. Happy to get to 6-0. So we just grinded it out pretty good. Got kind of forced into one grouping there in the second half. I don't think that's ever happened in 20 years, but defense played great, special teams played great. Outside of a few plays, you know, but it would have been pretty good. So we're hanging in there.
All right, Nick, this is the question that we've been asking for their first five games and now the six games. Are the Patriots a great team, or are they taking advantage of, shockingly they have one, a soft schedule?
Well, they are one of the best defensive teams through 6 weeks of a season the league's ever had. Every number says so. Mm-hmm. Regular stats like points per game allowed, advanced stats like DVOA, they all say this is an all-time great defense we are watching that might be led by, for the first time in my memory on a Patriots defense, a great defense led by a corner. Stephon Gilmore has to be the leading contender for Defensive Player of the Year. Through a few weeks, he had made the MVP rankings we did on the show, and he has only upped his play week by week. He played a perfect football game last night. Kyle Van Noy, one of the players that says, you guys always just say we're system guys and we don't get enough credit. He had a nice little
scoop. Don't say our names.
Don't say our names. Well, Kyle Van Noy, scoop and score. He did the thing they teach you not to do in New England, which is reach for the pylon because it can end up being a touchback.
But thank goodness it was a touchdown for him.
Right, absolutely. Because that game was still in the balance at that point in time. This is a great, great defense. The defense has, and special teams have scored five touchdowns. The defense has allowed three touchdowns. That's how good this defense is. Is this a great team? They didn't look to me like a great team last night. They didn't look like a great offense last night. They looked like a team that not only was taking advantage of the schedule, but in this schedule, this team being depleted due to injuries. I don't think you could watch last night's game and more injuries rack up for the Patriots see on the offensive side and feel great about where their offense is, even though you end the game, you see they have 35 points. This is a special defense. The greatest coach of all time, and a quarterback who gets more of a benefit of doubt than any quarterback ever because he's earned it. But I don't think this is a great football team because one major facet of their game, the offense, I don't think is that good right now.
Yeah, and most of the time in the NFL, especially with parity, they're not a lot of great teams in the league.
Sure.
Now, what you'll have is teams that will have great seasons, teams that will have great units, and the Patriots, we know, they're a great organization. Their defense, we're going to give them that. They're really talented, and we expected them to be great. But when we looked at the schedule, we knew the schedule was going to be very, very soft. We didn't think they were going to have their normal September struggle. So New England, out of respect, three times back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls, I'll give them that. But this is the least talented team. That team last night was the least talented team of the last 4 years. So typically, we don't, it's hard to reach greatness early in the season. That defense is playing at a level of greatness, but I would say it's a combination. We give them credit. We thought the defense was going to be good. You cannot replace all the talented offensive players. Last night, they lost Josh Gordon. You can see that offensive line. They're going to continue to have problems week in and week out. Their tight ends, I mean, they are a mash unit. Like, they only had one tight end. It was last night that was healthy at the end of the football game. So when you look at the holes that they have offensively, I think that right now, we'll reserve great and say right now we got some good teams. Kansas City's good. San Francisco is good. Greatness, we're going to have to see a lot more.
And what does it say about this Patriots team that the last 2 weeks against Washington, now against the Giants, they were both in those games? Yeah, you could say they have a cupcake schedule, but they play two teams that aren't supposed to be very good that were within striking distance of the New England Patriots.
Hard to blow teams out when you don't have a great offense. I mean, that's what it means. What it means is...
I mean,
is,
you already got the defense and special team scoring, right, and you still couldn't blow them.
Right. I mean, that's what it means. And that's why the margin of error for teams that are great, great defensive teams that struggle offensively so much smaller, because you can't get a team in the negative. You can hold a team to zero, you can hold a team to seven, but if your offense struggles like it did in Washington in the first half, and it's 9-7 with 30 seconds left, even though you end up pulling away, it's going to be close. Last night, it's 21-14 in the fourth quarter up until that Kyle Van Noy play.
Left or something.
And by the way, the Patriots defense or special teams had already scored a touchdown.
And it was still close.
Right, and on another block punt. So, like, that's why. Let's the other team in the AFC, the Chiefs, this week notwithstanding. Great offense, really questionable defense. When they look great, they are blowing people out because they're, you know what I mean? You've got to try to keep pace with them. You get out of your game. They can be up 31-13 and coast home. This is a different type of formula. We have right now the three best defenses in football all have one thing in common. You do not trust their offense. That is the Buffalo Bills, the Chicago Bears, and the New England Patriots. Now, obviously, you trust Brady more than you trust Trubisky and Josh Allen. I'm not saying they're the same. But what those three teams have in common is their offense is the big question mark on their team. We saw it again last night with New England.
Yeah, we do trust Brady more. But Brady's the only one of those three that can't move. So with questionable offensive lines, and that offensive line, I'm telling you, we are going to be talking about that offensive line. It will be the storyline of the season. Because if Tom Brady, it won't be arm strength. It won't be he gets old. It's the wear and tear. The licks from Washington game,
right,
the licks that he took last night, the overall toll on his body.
And I think that Tom Brady, it's going to be a discussion moving forward. He didn't throw a touchdown. He had two rushing ones, but didn't throw a touchdown. Hasn't looked fantastic over the course of the last couple of weeks. Yes, part of it's the offensive line, but part of it might also be Tom Brady.
Threw a pick in his third straight game, had the strip sack where he thought his tight end was going to be able to push that guy away from him. He wasn't able to. Brady got hit, not expecting it, which is something you almost never see because his pocket awareness is so great. But also, while I've been there aren't many Tom Brady critics, so I'm kind of considered one, even though I consider him obviously the greatest quarterback of all time. Man, he's got a tough job right now. The offensive line is not very good, and I don't know who he's throwing to.
We lost another one last night.
They threw to a number 80 yesterday, and I was like, man, I swear to God, Amendola's not on the team anymore. And it wasn't. It was Gunnar Olszewski, I think is his name. Olszewski. I don't know who that is. Jacoby Myers, undrafted free agent, who had a nice preseason. Right now, he's their second best healthy receiver. It's Julian Edelman and replacement level players all along the skill position. That's got to be a concern for New England as they approach the varsity portion of their schedule.
The Astros escape make the divisional round last night, beating the Rays 6-1. They advanced to the ALCS to face the New York Yankees. And man, Jose Altuve was a big reason why. Finished the series with 3 home runs. Nick, this is the matchup that we all wanted. The Astros and the Yankees. What do you want to see here?
Oh, I am so excited for this. This is what the entire baseball season was leading up to. Shout out, by the way, to Jose Altuve, who last night became the all-time major league leader for postseason home runs by a second baseman. You think about that. Jose Altuve is still he's probably got another decade playing baseball ahead of him, became the all-time leader in postseason home runs for a second baseman. This is the best team in baseball, the Houston Astros, against the best lineup in baseball, Chris's New York Yankees. I'm so glad Garrett Cole pitched that gem he did last night. Eight innings, 2 hits, gave up 1 home run, and that was it, because it sets up this matchup that we've been waiting for all year.
It is a classic matchup. I'm looking forward to it. We got our stage manager, Joe. He's like, yeah, bring on the Astros. But I wouldn't mind having the Rays.
Yeah, and a little anxious.
It should be a great, great series. I hope it doesn't take something away from the World Series, because what's happening on the other side. But this should be a great, great series.
Yeah, Rays had a great series, but it's nice to see the Astros playing the Yankees, which is what, if you're a fan of the game, this is what you wanted to see.
Astros top 3 pitchers, $96 million this year. The Rays as a team, $64 million this year.
As a team.
So the fact that they even got it to 5.
Yeah, top 3
to
players on Astros, I think, were the whole payroll of the Rays.
Do you put the Browns' woes on Odell, or on the relationship between Odell and Baker, or Odell just coming up a little bit short this season?
I put 0. I put it on Baker Fakeville. You know, that's usually what happens. What happens is he scratched a nerve. And when you know what it is, when you scratch a nerve with the veterans and the players in the league, when you start getting anointed and crowned and start talking stuff, speaking on other people's rosters, I told you guys Monday about how I knew that he had pissed people off and how Bosa was tackling his arms, trying to make him fall on his face, right? So now what happens is we always talk about the sophomore slump. Right, and we haven't really seen the current quarterbacks come back and take steps back.
Nope.
He's one of the first guys to take that, have that sophomore slump and take a step back. But it's for a reason. It's because they thought that he was ready to take more of the playbook, take more ownership of the offense too early. So now he's trying to do too many things because he doesn't have the weapons that he needed. Remember I said earlier this week, too, his house was built on straw, meaning that his tackles are so weak that it doesn't matter who you have at receiver. If I don't have the time to survey the field,
I won't get you the
all
ball.
I can do is throw quick stuff to Landry. You see Landry's eating because he's the guy that's the yak guy. We know Odell's the guy that can catch a slant and take it 85. We saw it against the Jets. But we know Landry's the tough guy that, much like Golden and Tate, that scrappy, physical, that can run through tackles. So now you look at Baker Mayfield, what does he have to face this week? And I hear Odell talking about, we're 2-3. Well, go ahead and rack that up to 2-4, because now you have another problem. Now you're facing another team that's built with physicality, and you got an elite quarterback that can elevate his players around him. Even though you look at the rosters, you're going to say Cleveland has the better roster, but now he has to face, Clowney and Ziggy. So now what happens when he flushed? Now those edges are set. So now they're going, when he tries to release and escape, he's going to get pulled up, thrown off the back foot, and that's where the errant passes are going to come. They are in trouble, and they're in trouble right now.
So I agree with a lot of what you said, except for that last point. I would not be shocked at all if the Browns win this game.
Okay.
Their season has gone loss, win, loss, win, loss. They've been the definition of inconsistent, which was one of your concerns. But they also, when you, not the elite quarterback part, not yet, but what you described with Seattle sounds a lot like Baltimore, and they played their best game of the season, hung 40 on Baltimore.
Russell Wilson.
No, I understand. Right. No, I get that part of it. That's why I said not the elite quarterback part. But what you're talking about, the problems that Seattle's defense could present, Baltimore presents a lot of those same problems. I think Cleveland's got some real issues. And I think Odell looking for the bright side in 2-3 is a little misguided. And I think it speaks to one of Chris's concerns, which is how many guys in that locker room have been through a playoff race? How many of those guys in that locker room have playoff success? Because 2-3 doesn't feel that bad. Yeah, if you're used to 0-5, if you're used to 1-4, but if you're used to 4-1, if you're used to competing for a division, 2-3 does feel awful. Now, the Browns, their season's not over. And we all knew that the back half of their schedule is where things really soften. When you have Cincinnati twice, when you have Arizona, when you have Miami, when you have a wounded Pittsburgh team twice. They just need to survive this first half of the year. But with the game after this one being at New England, if they don't win this game on Sunday, it's going to be very hard to survive this first half of the year.
Yeah, this is going to be a difficult situation for Cleveland because the style for which they're trying to play, they want to play three receivers, one tight end, one back, spread the field out, still run the ball to spread formation. They like Callaway, all right, the troubled receiver just coming off a suspension. You could see they tried to get him in the game plan. Odell throwing the ball as much as he's thrown the ball, it lets you know they're trying to get him involved in the game plan, not the way you get a star receiver involved in the game plan. Because what they have now, Jarvis Landry has been very consistent. Their problems have not been, it's not Baker's fault, it's not OBJ's fault, it's their offensive line's fault. Because when you have a bad offensive line, it becomes hard to play well. Baker's playing in the league that he didn't see last year because he wasn't scrambling around. He wasn't trying to run for his life. He was picking a guy, getting his eyes on him, and letting it fly to him. And that's why we saw the elite ability. That's why we saw the rookie touchdown record. That's why we saw the accuracy. I still believe that Baker Mayfield is an elite leader. But you have a lot of things to be able to learn about this league. Freddie Kitchens, at this point, when you need a win desperately as they do, OBJ don't need to be talking about getting me the ball and getting involved. You need a win.
Yeah.
And the OBJ, he's not the kind of guy that can lead in a culture. He's got to learn. He hadn't won since he's been in the league. He's been to playoff one times. So for to think that they understand what it takes to win 10 games, what it takes to win your division, they don't. Freddie Kitchens doesn't understand.
Who in that locker room understands? Who in that locker room is what?
Well, I've been saying that they didn't have.
You got the blind leaving the blind, right? And you talk about the difference between a championship pedigree team like Seattle, and you talk about, you try and compare them to Baltimore. Baltimore's trying to replace Terrell Suggs. They're soft over there in Baltimore right now. You know, they look good, they're flashy, and they have some physical players, but they're soft at the edges. They're not. Bobby Wagner isn't going to allow Nick Chubb to run crazy. They're going to keep him and make Baker have to go through 8 and 12 play drives, and he can't sustain it because all they have to do is get one negative play because of the lack of productivity they have from their tackles. Then it puts them behind schedule. Then what Baker has to do, he has to play hero ball. You can't play hero ball consistently. We see it with Mahomes. Mahomes running around having to be great all the time. We just need you to be consistent, but you can't do that when you can't protect your edges.
So the key for Seattle is just don't let Baker get comfortable.
And they're going to sit early.
And you'll win.
They're going to sit early. They're going to press bail that cover three, and they're going to make sure that they take away the deep outs and make sure that Baker can't release the ball earlier because they know if they just hold up for a second,
right,
that those edges are going to come in. And what it feels like to Baker is the walls closing in on him, and he feels like, you know what, let me get rid of the ball because he's starting to take a lot of hits, and now his eyes are starting to come down and see the rush opposed to feeling the rush and keeping his eyes downfield to make those plays.
Be very, very careful with Seattle. All right, Seattle is one team at home, and they're one team on the road.
Agreed.
Go back and look at their record since Pete Carroll has been there.
Even
win the 12s, man, they play with energy and everything. Sometime on the road, you're like, wow, where's the championship pedigree? Mm-hmm. Where's the playoff pedigree? Where's the Pete Carroll experience? Where is the leadership? So when they're on the road, sometime they're a different team. We believe that that's what's going to potentially happen this weekend.
And I know, to that point, I know they're 2-0 on the road this year. That one first win came at Pittsburgh when Ben Roth Roethlisberger got injured. The second win came at Arizona, a team that's searching for who it actually is. And so they're yet to face a real road test this season. I think they will on Sunday.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
All right, well, with Josh Gordon injured, there is no hiding the lack of weapons for Tom Brady in the offense. Enter one, Rob Gronkowski, the three-time Super Bowl tight end. The shirtless tight end is enjoying retirement, clearly. But Robert Kraft is leaving the door open for a return, saying, quote, "We all love Gronk, so we can always pray and hope." CeCe, what do you make of that?
Well, I just think that, and I heard Mr. Kraft last night during this interview and everything. I just think people, and I was guilty of this one time. In all my years of dealing with the league, I've always had a great deal of respect for it. But there was one time I dropped my guard. And that's when I first retired after the 2001 season, had gone into broadcasting, working with HBO, and then the Dolphins get a number of receivers injured on a Monday night game. And the general manager calls me the next day. Now, I had sat down with the Dolphins that offseason. My home has always been in Florida the last 25 years. So I was very familiar with the organization, and they were a potential spot for me to land until I got the offer from HBO and decided to do that. I decided just on that phone call that I could come back because I had never thought about coming back before that. And because of someone else's injury, I didn't think about like where I was. All the things I had done leading up to having the type of career I had none of those things in place. And I took that what I knew about the league for granted. And 2 weeks later, I'm in the hospital. My kidneys are working 20%. So, yes, I know we're sitting around saying, yeah, Gronk should come back. They need another tight end. Don't take the league for granted. Don't take the type of work, the type of stamina, the type of focus that it takes to be an NFL player. And that's why I ended up in the hospital with my kidneys not working because I thought, oh, yeah, I haven't played 15 seasons already. I know how to do this. They only want me to play in the red zone. They only want me to play on third down. Oh, I can go out there and go to the gym because we had a bye week. I can do it for a couple weeks and get right back into shape. No, this game, we should have more respect for it. I should have had more respect for it. And until I was laying on that hospital bed and that doctor told me that my kidney was the most important thing, I had lost the proper amount of respect that you need to have for playing in the NFL.
So to me, there's two different ways to look at this. One is from the perspective Chris just laid out, which is if he were to come back, would he be able to function? Put that on this side of the table for another moment. The other side is, would the Patriots try to get him to come back? And that's a discussion we had a lot before the year, which is I find so interesting, I think, where you're at on where you believe the Patriots are as far as level of desperation. Because last night during the game, you tweeted, Patriots are going to call Gronk to try to get him to come out of retirement.
Man, the Patriots will call a monkey if he can block or catch.
Well, and so, right?
So for us to think that they're beyond, oh, absolutely, they're going to do what's best for them. They didn't hear Gronk's interview. They didn't hear Gronk crying when he said football had taken me to a dark place. They didn't hear all that. They disregarded that. When Kraft said, yeah, I'm praying, I'm hoping. Really?
Well, but so doesn't that speak to you, to their level of
desperation?
Because in the offseason when we talked about this, one thing we all agreed on was having a player not be a part of the program in the offseason, in the regular season, and parachute in November.
That
is the opposite of the Patriot way.
This is what people don't get about the Patriots. That being Super Bowl or no Super Bowl, they're always desperate to improve their roster. Even when they're stacked, they're desperate. All right. They're desperate to win. They're desperate to improve. That's what they do. So they don't wait for just an emergency for desperation. They're always in the sense of desperation. They will always look at a player regardless of what their situation was. They didn't need a receiver when they added Randy Moss, but they were like, man, I want to be better. They didn't need AB when they added AB. They were like, we can be that much better. And if there's an opportunity, and Bill Parcells taught Belichick this, you improve your roster by hook or by crook, either by draft, by free agency, or by the streets, or by the CFL. Any way you can improve your roster, that's what you're supposed to do, and that's the New England way. It's not, oh, we got a tight end hurt. You think they needed Hernandez when they had Gronk? No, they didn't. They're always looking to stockpile good player, better players than the ones that they have.
And right now, your story and the long history of guys trying to come out of retirement and not necessarily being ready to play, notwithstanding, given who right now their tight ends are, given that they were on replacement level and then one of those replacement guys got hurt yesterday, I do imagine that they would love Gronk to come back, that they will try to get him to come back.
The thing that we take for granted, though, is even that replacement player Even that guy's got less talent.
Is better prepared at this point.
Hell yes.
Well, then hold
He's been through the whole offseason. His body is ready for an NFL season. Even though I might have more talent, I might be able to do it for five plays better than him. But after the game, am I going to be able to follow up? Am I going to be able to practice? And I have no stamina because I have not worked out as if I was getting ready for an NFL season.
Well, then I'm confused. If that's the case, then why would the Patriots be interested? Why should they call him? Why would they be interested?
Because the team is better with him than without him.
Okay, go ahead, explain. I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
The more people that they have know the system, the only reason why these players are playing is because that's the best that they have. Gronk understands more. So even if Gronk just showed up, they have more versatility just because who Gronk is. Now, he's not going to be able to run down the field, but they have more pass protection. Gronk not lifting weights is a better end-of-the-line blocker than the guys that they have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely, which is why before the year and right now, I've been saying I imagine the Patriots, if he was willing to come back, would want him to come back. That they didn't. I mean, they tried Benjamin Watson. Benjamin Watson is older than Gronk, much older right. than Gronk.
I would just have a serious conversation because if I'm going to take Gronk seriously, I have to listen to what he said. So I need Gronk to sit down and talk to someone before I put him on the football field. All right. He's not a piece of meat. The guy was in tears saying football had me in a very, very dark place. Did we forget that? So we just gonna send him out there into a football game and just like that didn't happen. There's a reason why Gronk walked away from football. And part of it's his head and part of it was his body. He couldn't do it at that level anymore. So now we're going to rush him back because the Patriots need him. I'm more concerned about Gronk than I am the Patriots.
I think you make a good point. It is a clear indication of just how desperate this team is. They're so desperate for a wide receiver or for someone to help out.
An established offensive player.
That they would dip back into that well. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.